and a one, and a two, and a one, two, three.
Bum 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 bum. Bum 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 bum. Mr. Sandman.
Yes.
Bring me a dream.
Bum 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 bum.
Wow.
Yeah, there we go. All right.
I'm
pretty good.
I'm impressed.
Thank you.
I was not expecting that.
In studio, welcome back to Bluegrass Bios. We've got Jeremy Brand. He's the president of the Kentuckians Chorus, if that wasn't obvious. They're a men's chorus in the and the Lexington chapter of the Barbershop Harmony Society. Their annual summer show is June 18th at the Lexington Opera House. For more information, you can go to thekentuckians.org, like their Facebook page, or follow them at The Kentuckians. How are you doing today, Jeremy?
I'm great. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming in. So, the president.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, okay. It's a very big responsibility to be the president of a barbershop chorus. There are many, many duties and responsibilities around town, and it's really taxing. But I'm doing it for the team.
Now, do you actually have like a barbershop outfit like you would see in like a vaudeville? Like,
oh yeah.
What do you call those hats?
Yeah, the straw hats are skimmers.
Skimmers.
They're called skimmers, yeah.
That's awesome.
You know, we have a whole variety of costumes and stuff we'll use in our shows. Most of the time we're in a tuxedo. And then when we do, sometimes we do sing outs around town. We'll just wear, you know, khaki pants and we have a logo shirt and stuff. But every now and then we'll do a skit and we'll get all costumed up. We'll have crazy outfits and it's a lot of fun.
So what kind of music and what can people expect from a show?
Sure. So barbershop is a uniquely American style of music. It's four-part men's a cappella harmony. And it was a style that was literally invented here. It's family-friendly music. It's old-timey love songs and, you know, Let Me Call You Sweetheart and that kind of stuff. And then it's evolved over the years. You know, you'll hear us sing at our show some Beatles tunes and some Eagles songs and like that. So it's a style where you can adapt more modern music, if you will. I say more modern because the original stuff was like the 1870s and 1880s, right? So by more modern, I mean the 50s and 60s. But it's a really adaptable style. And it's something that's starting to get a little bit more popular now that we have more of these music shows on TV, right? Yeah, it's fun.
So what is your voice type? I was trying to research what the like technical name for this is, but like you know, a baritone versus a tenor.
Right. So the four parts, you have bass, baritone, tenor, and then in barbershop you have a part that's called the lead, which is just what it sounds like. The lead sings the melody and it's the part of a song that you're most likely to know or sing along to in the car, in the shower, or whatever. And the other three parts are always singing, and they provide complementary harmonies, right? So we have a big bass section that sings all the low notes. Baritone's about in the middle, and then tenors obviously are high end. And oftentimes the tenors are above the leads, but each part is equally important. You have to get all four in true unison in order to get a good barbershop sound.
How long have you been with the Kentuckians?
I've been with the Kentuckians 6 years now. I've been singing barbershop for about 20. I sang in college, I sang in high school, and various places I've lived. You know, there's chapters all over the U.S. So we happen to be Lexington, Central Kentucky's chapter, but we have, you know, there's a chorus in Louisville, there's one in Elizabethtown, there's one in Indianapolis, you know, so it's a pretty big hobby.
You mentioned that there were 600 chapters around the world?
Yeah, worldwide.
That's awesome. It becomes a big community, and I can imagine no matter where you go or where you travel, there's probably always a chapter that kind of gives you a home feeling.
Well, it's funny you should mention that. So there's a set of 10 songs that we call our polecats, and those are 10 songs that in theory every barbershopper should learn, right? They're like the classic songs. So when I travel for work and I'm maybe out in San Francisco for the week, I can look up the cable car chorus, because that's really a thing, and and go to their meeting and walk in with guys I've never sung with before, but know some songs to sing with them. So yeah, it really is a community. It's a very friendly, family-oriented kind of hobby, and people get together for conventions and stuff a couple times a year, and it's a really lovely group of guys to hang out with.
So there's no like rival barbershop society, right? There's no like West Side Story.
Yeah. Like, huh? Yeah. In terms of the society, there's really just the one, but it's funny you mention that because there is, you know, there are contests, there's regional contests and an international contest every year. And the competition at those is really interesting to see, because barbershoppers by nature are these nice guys that love each other and really just love to get together and sing, but then they're competing against each other. So they'll cheer each other on, but the competition is really intense. You know, if you want to be a number one barbershop chorus, you're investing 3 or 4 nights a week in practicing just to learn 2 songs that you like. Are the expert on those 2 songs, and then you go to the international, you sing your 2, and everybody else sings their 2 songs, and then the judges determine who's the best barbershop chorus. And there's a quartet competition as well, just for, you know, the 4 guys.
WLXL LPFM Lexington Community Radio. We've got Jeremy Brand. He's the president of the Kentuckians Chorus in studio. So let's say somebody wants to, they're a shower singer, right? They think they sound pretty good doing doo-wop. How do they get involved with the Kentuckians?
Sure. Well, they would come out to any of our rehearsals. We rehearse Tuesday nights from 7 to 10 at Crestwood Christian Church. It's over off Glendover in Belafonte. All of our rehearsals are open to the public, and we encourage people just to stop by. We had 4 people stop by just last week. A couple of them were interested in joining, a couple just wanted to listen. So we encourage people to come on by. We have a vice president of membership who would greet them when they come in and hand them some music and, you know, kind of introduce them to a few of the guys. And, you know, different people have different level of singing expertise, right? Some people are just the car and shower singers, if you will, and we take them. We're happy to have them. You know, if you can carry a tune, unless you're like the guy when your family sings happy birthday that everyone kind of looks at you just like, okay, quiet down a little bit. Maybe we don't want that kind of thing. But almost everybody else will take, and it's all age ranges. Our youngest is 12 years old and our oldest is 86. So it's a real cross section of Lexington who sings with us.
All right, cool.
So what drew you into music and to barbershop?
You know, as a kid, that was my favorite class. And, you know, even going back to elementary school, I always liked music because you got to sing. And so I've been singing all my life. I didn't really find barbershop until high school. But, you know, there's something about the tight a cappella harmony that it really takes a team to do. And you all have to really kind of be in sync with each other. It's a feeling like no other. And if you've never experienced it, it's really neat. You know, the first time someone joins us on the risers and sings a chord with us, you kind of see their eyes light up and they're like, well, that's really neat, you know, and then you're kind of hooked. If you like harmony and you like singing at all, you'd probably like this style. There's a female counterpart to the Barbershop Harmony Society, the Sweet Adelines. And we have a chapter of that here in Lexington, and it's the same thing. So, you know, if you're even kind of interested, come on out. I made the pitch to Tom Kenny when we were talking over on the ABC channel. I said, Tom, you got to come by some, because he MCs for us sometimes, and he's got this big, great bass voice. I said, man, you'd be perfect for us. So we'll see. But yeah, we encourage anyone to come out and try it.
Can you describe one of these skits for the audience, please?
Oh, man. Well, I'll give you a little teaser from our upcoming show. So, a million to one, right? And the show, the kind of the theme for the show, or for our summer shows, we always try and pick a theme, and this year it's numbers. And you're going to have 2 guys who are terrible comedians who tell corny jokes. And their adventure is they're thinking about playing the lottery and seeing what they might do with the winnings. And so in between the songs, you know, the format for our shows is more like a variety show, if you will, because the chorus will sing a song and then you'll have a corny joke. And then you'll have these couple guys come out and do a skit about how, let's play the lottery. Let's play the Powerball and see what might happen. And it kind of breaks it up, makes it a little bit more interesting show. And then we have some other community groups choruses who will sometimes sing with us. The Sweet Adelines will be singing with us. We'll have some of our quartets that sing with us. So it really makes it an interesting show, and the comedy is wonderful, family-friendly comedy, and the jokes are sometimes so good and sometimes so bad that you'll laugh either way. So
that show is A Million to One. It's June 18th at the Lexington Opera House. Tickets are online or at the door. I guess you can get more information at the Kentuckians.org. website for the tickets, that is?
Correct. It's at the Opera House. It's a great venue for singing. If you've never been to the Opera House, that's a real treasure here in Lexington. It's a great venue, and they work with nonprofits like us to give us a good deal to put on a show there. So it's a fun environment to hear music.
Now, are these songs, you mentioned there's 10, you call them polecats.
Yeah.
What are some of those, first of all?
Well, like My Wild Irish Rose, Let Me Call You Sweetheart, Shine On Me. And these are, like I said, these are the ones that are, you know, 100, 120 years old. But that was a style that kind of reflects a time that I think people are a little nostalgic for these days. Simpler times and people's, you know, the culture in America was a little bit different. And these were the songs that you would sing to your girlfriend as you were trying to court her and get her to come out with you for a carriage ride, maybe.
Yeah,
maybe
the original Peter Gabriel.
Yeah, yeah, right. You know, and then maybe you'd stop by the soda jerk on the way home or whatever, you know. So it's really charming and endearing stuff. And then, to add some variety to it, like I said, we'll add in some modern songs. You'll hear some Glenn Miller from us. You'll hear, you know, some 40s, 50s, 60s stuff as well. So it's... But the Polecats, the 10 Polecat songs are the kind of the classic barbershop numbers.
All right. Going off of that, then, you mentioned the modern songs. Is it like, does somebody have to compose these? Are they sent from higher headquarters, or is it just kind of like jazz, right? You just kind of go in there and figure it out.
Well, so it's a great question because there's kind of a, you know, there's different opinions on this within the society right now. You're going to get into the, you know, the
hot
politics,
button issue, ladies and gentlemen.
Hot button issues of the Barbershop Harmony Society. So, you know, there is a very traditional style of barbershop that has specific characteristics. And when you sing a song at contest before judges, it should generally meet those characteristics. They're going to evaluate you against, you know, if you show up and start singing Boys to Men, they'll clap for you, but that ain't barbershop, right?
Right.
It's nice harmony. It's great stuff. But you know, there's certain chord progressions like that. So the society does publish music, and you can pay them for the rights to perform that music. You can also get, there's any number of arrangers within the society who will custom arrange a piece for you. So if you heard something on the radio that you heard an Adele song, you said, man, you know, I think that'd be really neat for four-part harmony. You could maybe pay somebody to arrange that for you, for your quartet or for your chorus, in the barbershop style. We're really fortunate in Lexington. Our director is also an arranger for barbershop. So a number of the songs that we sing will be arranged by him. And that's really nice. His name's John Nicholas, and he arranges for choruses all over the world that are, some are barbershop and some are not. But our philosophy is we like to mix it up, and we'll do some of the traditional songs. And, you know, Seven Bridges Road by the Eagles, that's just a great song. It's not barbershop, but we're going to sing it anyway because we really like the song. You know, some people prefer to just do the traditional stuff.
Well, what are some other events that y'all have if people can't make it out on the 18th?
Sure. So on the 16th, Thursday evening, 6 p.m., we're going to be at the Jessamine County Public Library. They're kicking off their summer reading program, and they like to feature local artists to do that. So we qualify for that. We'll be singing down there for about an hour, and you'll hear some of the same stuff that's in our summer show, and that's free of charge if you happen to be in the Nicholasville area. At the end of the year, we do a Christmas show. We haven't set the date for that yet. It's typically like December, you know, 3rd or 4th. It's early in December. That's a blast. If you're a real holiday person that just loves to get into the spirit of Christmas, come on out to the Kentuckian show. It'll kick off your season just right. In February, we do Singing Valentines. We'll go around town. That's a blast. We send quartets all over town, and you can like buy a Valentine for your sweetie, and we'll go deliver it in person, even if she's, you know, working at the Kroger, or, you know, you want it delivered while you're having dinner at a nice restaurant. So we go out, send four guys out in tuxedos, and they hand her a rose, and they sing, "Let me call you sweetheart, I'm in love with you." And all the girls start crying, and, and the guys look like heroes, and it's a good deal all around.
That will guarantee a carriage ride.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm wondering now, are you guys, how often are you guys available for stuff like that?
Oh, we do stuff like that all throughout the year.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so we have like a birthday coming up or something.
Absolutely. Right. You let me know. We'll hook it up. We have four or five quartets within the chorus who do gigs like that around town all year. For example, if you've ever been to the Keeneland Concours car show, we have a quartet there that's been singing out there for the past 4 years or so to kind of kick that off. The whole chorus went out and sang to open a day of racing at Keeneland this year, sang My Old Kentucky Home and Star Spangled Banner and stuff like that. We sing at Whitaker Ballpark. And
yeah, that's my next question.
Yeah, we've sang for... Oh, the UK women's basketball team. We sang for senior night there. Oh. And that's just a great time, right? You know, celebrating the seniors, and it's their last big night, and we'll go out there to center court and sing My Old Kentucky Home for them. And it's nice. We're a community chorus. We like giving back to the community, and that's a big part of what we do.
Well, what are some of the main ways you guys like to give back to the community?
You know, we take requests for charity performances. We've sung at, you know, nursing homes and charity events before. We've sung for the city government at the tree lighting and stuff like that, just to kind of give back a little bit.
Yeah. What's been one of your most memorable events that you've been to in 6 years?
You know, for me, you know, personally, I like singing out at Keeneland. I'm not originally from Lexington, but in the time I've lived here, that's become, you know, a place that to me kind of represents Lexington and represents Central Kentucky. And when you get to go sing, you know, My Old Kentucky Home to start a day of racing at a really pretty racetrack, you know, that's pretty special. I also really enjoy the contests we go to, where we get to sing with other choruses from around the region and kind of see what they're doing. And you know, then we end up, there's always an after party where we'll get together and sing songs together, you know, and the camaraderie of it is just really nice.
You said it literally started here. When you say that, you mean like the South, or are you talking about Kentucky?
No, you know, it's a style that no one knows for sure exactly, you know, where was the first barbershop quartet.
It's got some soul influence to it.
Yeah, it does. You know, it's a merge of African American and Irish singing traditions, a lot of people say. The first official meeting of the society was in, I want to say, like Omaha or Kansas City or something like that. But when you look at the more traditional songs and the older songs, many of them are songs of the South, talking about Dixieland and lounging on the levee and things like that. So, yeah, I'm not a barbershop historian, but yeah, if I were a betting man, I'd say that if there were a first barbershop quartet, it likely would have been in maybe a barbershop in New Orleans back in the day when steamboats were rolling through there or something like that.
So literally, and as you said, you're not a historian, but no idea why it's a barbershop and not like a cobbler's quartet or something.
Right. Well, yeah, you know, cobblers are so busy.
To sing while I get my hair cut.
Well, I like to sing while I get my shoes shined. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe there is a room for a cobbler's quartet. But no, I'm not sure. I'm not sure where the origin of that is.
Okay. We'll get on that, and we'll bring that information back to you.
Please do.
Lexington, Kentucky. Jeremy Brand, he's the president of the Kentuckians Chorus. Their men's chorus is the Lexington chapter of the Barbershop Harmony Society. Their annual summer show is June 18th at the Lexington Opera House. For more information, go to thekentuckians.org. You can like their Facebook page or follow them on Twitter at thekentuckians. The show's tickets are available online or at the door on June 18th. Thank you for coming in and talking to us today, Jeremy.
And singing for us.
You're welcome.
I was Thanks hoping you could take us to break on a rendition, maybe just a few bars of My Old Kentucky Home.
Yeah, you guys got to join in, though.
All right. Right. Come on, Lexington.
I'll let y'all.
Oh, the sun shines bright on my old Kentucky home. 'Tis summer, the people are gay. Oh, that's beautiful. That's lovely, fellas.
I might need some practice. But that was lovely. Thank you again, Jeremy.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a break, not listening to Bob Dylan. Is that correct, Ben?
That's correct.
All right, we're going to listen to something else. We'll be back in about 5 or 10 minutes with Josh England. He's the market manager of the Lexington Farmers Market. And stay tuned, because we still have a special guest at the end of the show to send off Lexington Sours into her internship.
No. Better be like George Clooney or something.
You will be scared. Oh, all right. Tune in. Hey, welcome back. This is Bluegrass Bios on WLXL LPFM Lexington Community Radio. We're back in studio with Josh England. He's the market manager for Lexington Farmers Market. You know it. If you drive around, you've seen all their different spots. They're currently operating from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturdays at the Pavilion downtown. from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Sundays on Southland Drive in front of Winchell's. From 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Tuesdays and Thursdays at Maxwell Street and Broadway. And starting June 1st, which we just learned is Lexington's birthday, Wednesdays in front of, beside, nearby UK's ES Good Barn, which I still don't know what that
is. As an aside, it is both Lexington's birthday, both mine and the city's.
Is that
a I'm 90% sure.
Okay, well.
Let me fact check.
As soon as we figure out that whole barbershop thing, we'll come back with that too. Josh, how are you doing today, man?
I'm not too bad. It's a beautiful, beautiful day out there, so.
Yeah, your office is just down the street, correct?
That's right. We have our offices right on Broadway, so I just walked down to the station. It was a really nice commute.
Cool. How long have you been with Lexington Farmers Market?
I've been there a little over 3 years, and I've been the market manager, so the CEO, COO, whatever you want to call the executive director for about a year and a half now.
So you're running things.
That's what they tell me. It runs me, I guess, this time of year.
With 75 vendors, that's about right. Is that still accurate information? Yep. That's got to be quite a handful.
Yeah, it's a fun challenge. Just imagine farmers, they like to be independent, and business owners like to be very entrepreneurially minded, and so they're very independent. I mean, my job is to make sure they mostly all get along.
So did you grow up around agriculture?
No, absolutely not. I grew up in Berea, Kentucky, and some of my first experiences in agriculture were fails. You know, like in second or third grade, you grow a pea in a terrarium. Like, we did that two or three times, and mine never, ever survived. It'd be like
yeah,
the only...
Yeah, mine neither.
I'd be like the only kid in the class that would be like, I don't have anything to graph.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah. And so that was my first experiences.
So kind of what grew from that, and why did you become so involved in the farmer's market?
I see what you did there.
Good.
What did grow from...
Well, I love cooking. My parents were good cooks, but they were very limited in their repertoire. And so starting when I was probably in middle school, I took over one meal a night at home. And then by high school, I was cooking several nights a week. And just I really got interested in cooking and all the different produce and just finding out unique things. And then I went to UK and I majored in international studies. But in 2008, we all know that there was the financial crisis, and no one wants to hire a studier.
Right. Yeah.
So I was looking at my roommate. He's going to be an engineer. Other people in class were nursing majors. They're going to be a nurse. I was like, I need some sort of vocational training so I don't starve to death. And so I minored in sustainable agriculture.
Okay. What are some of the jobs that you've had on your way to this position?
My very first job was at a summer camp that I went to. I was the junior counselor, so basically my job was to clean pee sheets. And then I worked at that summer camp several years throughout college. And then I also taught piano lessons. What else?
I'm trying to drive you toward, if you could tell us about teaching English in China.
Oh, okay, yeah. So after all that, I was like, after I graduated college, I was like, maybe I should go live abroad because my major's international studies and I'm not really qualified for any of these positions. And so I started emailing people, and eventually a school in China contacted me back and said, send us your college diploma and a copy of your passport page. And I did, and they emailed me back and said, you're hired, come in the fall.
Wow.
Wow.
How long were you there?
I was there a year and a half.
Did you speak Mandarin, any Chinese dialect?
Yeah, I spoke, I took Mandarin for 2 years at UK,
okay.
So I had some familiarity there, but it was a great cultural experience because when I said, they said, show up in the fall time, that's what the email said. They said, you're hired, show up in the fall time. And it took me almost 2.5 months to determine what day I actually needed to show up.
Well, and I can imagine that going to a new culture and experiencing that, but also how people process food and how they sustain their agriculture is really kind of a fascinating thing to study and
Full
to be dropped
circle.
In the middle of it.
Good job.
She's really good at these.
Way to get us back on track.
Yeah, a lot of just the raw vegetables that I could get there at the corner vegetable stands were very similar to what you can find here. They had some weird things like silkworms and some other kinds of bitter squash and bitter melons that we're not used to. But yeah, I was able to jump right in because I had those cooking skills, and I was able to make everything from scratch. And I even taught some of my classes how to do like a Thanksgiving dinner, or they really, really liked Sloppy Joe's. go figure.
Okay, all right.
So what kind of, if you could talk a little bit about your vendors, right? They're the kind of the stars of the show. What are some of the favorites, the standouts, the newcomers that stand out to you?
Yeah, well, I like to divide them in lots of different ways, but my two favorite ways to divide them are like the food entrepreneurs and then the farmers. Mm-hmm. So I guess the coolest story is with some of the food entrepreneurs. Have any of you had Dad's Cheese before?
Mm-hmm. I have not.
It's a cheese spread, and they also make a new beer cheese. But they were one of the first small scale manufacturers in Lexington. And they sold their products starting at the Lexington Farmers Market. Now you may know they have two retail restaurants, and they still sell at the farmers market. In their growing, they had extra space in their kitchen. And so another business that started at Lexington Farmers Market, Lexington Pasta, started making pasta in their excess space and then selling it at the farmers market. And now Lexington Pasta has grown. They have their own restaurant. They have their own manufacturing facility. And Gents Soda and Crank and Boom Ice Cream use their excess kitchen space to make their products that are sold all throughout Lexington. So it's a really cool web of how those businesses depended on each other and the farmers market. So that's one of the coolest things with the food entrepreneur side.
And they're able to get such popularity because
their products are really good.
Right. Well, and a ton of people go to the farmers markets no matter what day, right?
Yeah, that's right. Our Saturday markets, it's hard to estimate because if you've been down to the pavilion, there's no like one way in and one way out.
Right.
But maybe in the summertime, so June, July, and August, our peak months, we say maybe 5,000 to 8,000 people come through on a Saturday, and then maybe 3,000 to 5,000 on the Sunday. So that's pushing 10,000 people in a given week that are coming through and having exposure to these products. The weekday markets are much smaller, but they're really designed and they really cater to farm overstock. So when farms have the glut of tomatoes, the glut of summer corn, the people can still come and get those throughout the week.
And one of the great things about the locations of these farmers markets is that it's really kind of walkable. And people can just stop by. If you're downtown, you can come grab some fresh fruit for lunch and things like that.
Yeah.
So how do you all select your locations?
So some of it is through history. We've been downtown starting on Manchester Street that is now part of underneath the parking lot at R.J. Corman, I think, somewhere in 1973 or 4 or 5, depending on who you ask. And when it was official, I think somebody just set up a truck one day in like 73 and then it was official in 75. So we've been in that area for over 40 years now.
Wow.
And we used to be on Vine Street on Saturdays, but there's a big hole in the in downtown that forced us to move several years ago. But the city was able to be really gracious and help build a pavilion in Cheapside. And then South End Drive, it was really cool because the South End Association approached us, and it was a collaborative work to try to get some more livelihood in that Sunday spot. So that's some of the cool places.
Are there different vendors at each location, or is there some overlap?
There's overlap because many people know that we're the Lexington Farmers Market, but we have a really long official business name. We're
right.
The Farm and Garden Market Cooperative Association Incorporated. And so we're a agricultural production cooperative. And so you join our cooperative, and then that gives you access to all of our markets. But in general, not all the farmers come to every single market. It's just they have to have some time to work on the farm. But we'll have 45 or 50 vendors on a Saturday, 35 to 40 on a Sunday, and then maybe around 20 come peak summer weekday.
Well, and I'm sure if you've never been to a farmer's market, walking in can be a little intimidating. So what are your tips for navigating the farmer's market scene?
Yeah, if you've never been to a farmer's market, there can be a lot of new things you've never seen before. It's not like going into the produce section of Kroger or going into Walmart, where there may be one or two kinds of tomatoes. Sometimes in the summer, we have over 170 varieties of tomatoes alone. So my first advice is to walk through the entire market. And at our Lexington Farmers Market, we have every single item that's being sold has a little price card that says where it's from, what kind it is, how much it costs, and whether that farmer grew it themselves or if they got it from another farmer. And so you can look at the prices and look at the different characteristics and talk to the farmers about what the products are and what your end goals are. And once you've done a lap, then you start making your purchases.
Wow.
And that's one great thing about having the farmers right there. There's a different connection when you grow the food or when you kind of know where it comes from, that there's a whole new angle of information that can be provided. So you really know what goes into your food, know what made this tomato grow or this, you know, ear of corn.
Yeah, exactly. So you can talk to the farmers and find out, is this an heirloom variety? Is it a hybrid variety? What kinds of treatments for pests do you use? Why do you use those things? Or even down to more practical, if you don't want to get into all those details, like I've never made tomato sauce before. Which tomato should I get and how do I make it?
Right.
Or which, I want to eat a cantaloupe in 3 days. Can you get me a cantaloupe that'll be ready in 3 days instead of one that's ready today?
Right.
Lexington grew up on a farm, so this dirt and pesticides talk really gets you going.
It does. Well, I'm fascinated by food deserts, so I think having a farmer's market in town is, is just great.
Yeah. Well, now, do you just have fruits and vegetables, or what else do you guys have?
No, we have a wide variety. Like I mentioned earlier with some of the manufactured products, we have cheeses and cakes and cookies and breads and all those things.
Tell me more about the cakes.
Yes, we have some really good German-style baked goods. But also on the produce and meats and cheeses, we have a really cool, you might have heard of Boone Creek Creamery. It's one of the only urban cheesemakers in America. And they supply our cheese, and they have a great variety. They've been on nationally syndicated television shows before, which is neat. But then we also have farmers that work really hard to raise things like pastured pork, so pigs in the forest. And we have different varieties of lamb and beef raised on different systems for different outcomes. So we can get meats, cheeses, breads, eggs, all those sorts of things.
Can you get sort of recipe ideas from some of the people there?
Yeah, a lot of the farmers provide recipe cards, especially for some of their more unique items, such as a ramp. Have you heard of a ramp before?
I have not.
We're just leaving ramp season right now, but it's a member of the allium family, so related to garlic, onions, leeks. But it grows wild. It has to be foraged for, and it has about a 3 to 5 week growing season or picking season in the springtime. And it tastes like a mixture of garlic and onion, and you can eat the greens. And so it's really prized by chefs in like New York City, but we can get it here in Lexington. And so that's really cool. And so they can tell you about that.
That's awesome.
Josh England of the Lexington Farmers Market. They have a 5 day a week, or will be 5 days a week starting June 1st. 5 day a week markets both year round and seasonal, with a diverse offering of high quality products, providing customers an opportunity to purchase locally grown food. For more information, you can go to lexingtonfarmersmarket.com, like their Facebook page, excuse me, or follow them on Twitter and Instagram at LexFarmMKT. So, Josh, just between us, your dirty little secret is you just got to have a bunch of lean cuisines in the freezer, right? Like, it's all like just Cheetos and Cheese Whiz there.
What's your personal diet?
Well, my favorite Lexington restaurant / food place is Spalding's. I mean, I could eat, when I go to Spalding's and get a dozen, I get extra 3 for me to eat on the way home so that people don't know. I'm not just always eating the super healthy things. I like Indy's chicken too, and the spicy, and so that's hard to pass up.
Okay,
well, it's right down the street. You can catch it on your.
So the big box stores, they're still on your You'll still have to go for one reason or another, right?
You can't buy toilet paper at the farmer's market, unfortunately.
Not yet.
No, I don't know if I would want some sustainable toilet paper. I like Charmin Soft, but there's always going to be a need to have stores that have a variety of things that you might not be able to produce here in Kentucky. But it's great that our farmers can still work hard to get all the things that are able to be grown here accessible to the people.
Yeah, I guess that's another more important and better question. Organizing a farmer's market is important to a somewhat still agriculturally based economy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not only just an agriculturally based economy, it's a great marker for economic development in general for an area. If you look at city scales, like when they rank different cities, farmers markets help influence how high a city's ranked because it shows activity and livelihood and safety, because people don't want to go to public open air markets when it's too dangerous or things like that.
Oh, interesting.
Are you still, is the number of vendors currently capped?
It's not capped per se, you might have heard that the courthouse downtown, which is where our Saturday market's based around, it's going to be going under massive renovation for the next 3 years.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And because of that, our footprint is being limited. So we're not per se not letting new members in, but we're being much more selective right now in this transition period than we might be once we get a better handle of how that's the construction is actually going to affect us. We have year-round rolling membership.
I was wondering if you could also tell us a little bit about the volunteering opportunities at the farmers market.
Yeah, there's ways you can volunteer directly with the organization, coming out and helping organize and place the vendors, helping them go to the bathroom sometimes. That may seem silly, but if they're working at the market, they can't leave their booth.
Right.
They might just need to run to the restroom, and they need someone to stand and guard their things for that moment. But then we also partner with another great organization in Kentucky called Glean Kentucky.
We've talked to him.
I love Glean Kentucky.
Yeah. Shout out to Glean Kentucky.
Yeah. Some people are more interested in the food justice and food outreach. And so we steer our volunteers that are community outreach oriented more to helping them. And because they have that infrastructure and they have those relationships to go out into the community and really share the information about how to get access to healthy, fresh, locally grown products.
For sure. So another part of community support that you guys are involved in is the Bluegrass Double Dollars. Could you explain what that is?
Oh, yeah. So starting in 2009, the Lexington Farmers Market began processing debit cards and SNAP benefits, so food stamps, at our market in exchange for tokens that you can take around and spend. Last year, in collaboration with Bluegrass Farm to Table, which is housed in the mayor's office, and the Bluegrass Community Foundation, we launched a program called Bluegrass Double Dollars. It was funded by a federal grant, and what that does is it allows people who get food stamp benefits, they get access, and they have the ability to earn more local fruit and vegetables by shopping at the Lexington Farmers Market. So if they come to the farmers market and they have $10 on their SNAP card, they swipe it, they earn an additional $10 in local fruits and vegetables.
Wow.
Awesome. That really helps people who need that extra benefit but can't necessarily get it, really healthy options.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it's better food, right? It's a win-win. Mm-hmm. So how much of your job or your intent here is educational?
I think that I spend the majority of my time educating people, whether it's the farmers about their locations or the community about the different products, or going out and partnering with other community partners to just get the word out and share all the great opportunities we have at the farmers market and at all of our neighborhoods that we have our locations.
And there's something about going into schools, right?
We run that sort of scales down during the summer because schools aren't in, but we in the past have gone in and done farm to school, and we help educate students and give them taste tests of different products that they might not have had access to, like kale chips or even rainbow colored carrots, which blow people's minds that carrots can be more than one color.
Josh England, he's the market manager for Lexington Farmers Market. Thanks for coming in and talking to us today, Josh.
Thanks for having me.
So, one more time, currently operating 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturdays at the Pavilion downtown, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Sundays on Southland Drive in front of Winchell's, 7 to 4, Tuesdays and Thursdays at Maxwell and Broadway, starting June 1st, on which is apparently a dual Lexington birthday, on Wednesdays at UK's ES Barn. If you're like me and you don't know what one of those places is, then you can go to their website. They've got Google Maps locations on there. Their website is LexingtonFarmersMarket.com. You can also like their Facebook page or follow them on Twitter and Instagram at LexFarmMKT. This is Bluegrass Bios. We'll be right back in a couple of minutes with Lexington's surprise send-off. This is WLXL. All right, we are back on Lexington Community Radio. This is Bluegrass Bios, and on the line is a special guest that we have because if this is maybe your first time listening, or if you're a long time listener, it's important to note that today is our last show with Lexington Sours for the summer. She's going to McLean, Kentucky to do big things over the summer.
So, I don't know about big things, but intern things.
Some things. So on the line for her, as promised, is Cambo the Clown. How are you doing today, sir? Perfect.
Hello.
Can you explain what those sounds were?
Those are some... oh, here's another one.
I love it. Cambo, how are you doing today, man?
I'm doing good.
Thank you for coming on with us. Yeah.
What's that now?
Thank you for coming on.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me on. So, if I look in the mirror right now, I don't see a clown looking back at me.
That's so fine. Well, for our audience, imagine big. Describe your face paint. Describe your costume. What you'd normally wear for the audience.
Right now, I've got a pair of. Yeah. Well, my face paint is what's called an Auguste, which there are several styles of clown makeup, and mine is Auguste, which is I have big circles around my eyes and around my mouth, and with white infill and in lines, and then a kind of reddish rouge around the rest of my face. So it's a pretty simple clown makeup, and I and I paint my nose red. I don't wear a clown nose.
All right.
And then I have a, for my costume, I have a pair of UFO pants, which are, you know, really big baggy pants.
Okay.
Yes.
I've got the big shoes, really big shoes.
I've got somebody here who wants to say hi to you, Cambo.
Is that Lexington?
It is Lexington.
Lexington. Hey, congratulations on your gig this summer.
Thank you. So tell me a little bit about yourself. How do you get into this business?
Well, I moved to Lexington in 1979, and I was looking for, I've always felt drawn to being a clown and entertaining. I think I have a memory of when I was about 4 or 5 years old. My family went to the greatest show on earth, which was, you know, the Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus, and in a place called Willow Grove, Pennsylvania. And that was back when they had the big tent. You know, they set up this huge tent and had the circus.
And, iconic.
And you know, at that time, it was really kind of a golden era for clowns in this country. There was Emmett Kelly, Weary Willie, and Otto Griebling, and Lou Jacobs, and Bobby Kay, who were all, you know, really well-known clowns with the circus at that time. And I would have seen all of them. I mean, I know that I saw the acrobats and the tightrope walkers and the clowns and all of that. My main memory from that is just the big tent, you know, which was pretty incredible. And I think the memories of seeing the clowns and everything are just mixed in with all of the images and pictures that I've seen over the years. But I know I would have seen those guys. And so when I was a kid, I told my mother that when I grew up, I was going to be a clown. And there are a lot of kids who do that, you know. And somehow that just happened with me.
Yeah, I mean, you were inspired enough by that experience that you actually went through and were accepted into the Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey Circus Clown College, correct?
Yeah, and that was in 1982. And I moved to Lexington in 1979. And soon after that, I decided that I would make a go of being a clown. And my ticket for that was to go out and rent a helium tank. It used to be that helium balloons were something that you would only encounter at fairs and festivals, circuses and so on. And this was a time when all these helium balloon delivery services popped up around the country, and helium balloons started to be more popularly available.
Right.
So I started that business. And you know, I would go off to fairs and, events at Woodland Park and around Lexington with my helium tank and got into clown gear and stuff, which, I had a lot to learn at that stage. I just kind of jumped into it there. And then I started meeting other people. Gene St. John and Steve Roenker were in town then. They formed My Nose Turns Red, and I worked with them. Jean taught mime, and I took mime classes from her and performed with her troupe and met magicians and jugglers and started picking up skills and so on.
Camp.
And then in 1980 or 81, a friend, Terrell Newman, his family had a house on Limestone Street, right across from where Good Sam was. I think there is a wine shop there now.
Mm-hmm.
And he offered me the first floor apartment, which faces out on the street there. And it had just been student housing at that point, student apartments. And he offered me that as a storefront and to pay what would have been comparable to, a student apartment. So I moved in there. They took out, the old style windows and put plate glass windows in, and I opened up Cambo's Balloons and Clowns right there, and had balloons of all kinds and kites and magic supplies and theatrical makeup and clown makeup and I slept with the inventory in the back of my room. And so I kept that store until I got accepted in Ringling Brothers Clown College. And they told me that a condition of my attending the clown college was that I couldn't own the store anymore. Because they looked to recruit attendees of the clown college into the circus. So I said, okay, I'll sell it. So I sold the store and got out of that.
Cambo, because we're kind of running out of time on the show, I want to plug your website, cambotheclown.com. And,
and I'm on Facebook, too, if you search Cambo the Clown on Facebook.
And Twitter, at Cambo the Clown.
I appreciate it, man.
If you could just tell us really quickly what you do for the Kentucky Children's Hospital.
Oh, man, I love that. They have arranged for me to, during certain times of the year, come in and do visits to see the kids, to uplift spirits of kids and their families. And that's just, I love doing that. And one thing that I do with clowning, I do juggling and clown magic and a little music with harmonica and panpipes. And when not at the hospital, I do a lot of balloon animals. At the hospital, because of latex allergies, I don't do balloon animals. So that's a lot of fun to just, go in and do my clown repertoire and interact with the kids. I love doing that.
And what are some of the events that you're available for?
Oh, in the Dream Factory, I should mention them. I really credit them with connecting me with Kentucky Children's Hospital. I've been one of the entertainers at their... the Dream Factory Valentine's Day party for 25 years now. So that's a lot of fun. Did you say what kinds of events?
Yeah.
Oh, of course, birthday parties and library shows at public libraries. Oh, I should say on June 4th in the morning, for Lexington Public Library downtown at 10 a.m. in the morning, they have a whole day of teaching how to different things, and I'll be teaching how to make balloon animals in the morning. But I do neighborhood association events, events for parks and recreation, for company picnics, grand openings, festivals, all those sorts
parades. I think I've seen you on the St. Patrick's Day parade, right?
Yeah, St. Patrick's Day parade. I love that. I've got a special green costume I wear for that, and I ride my big trike in the parade.
He's Cambo the Clown. He's a Ringling's brother and Barnum and Bailey Circus graduate with over 25 years of clowning in the bluegrass.
35 now.
35 years. Okay. Go to his website, CamboTheClown.com. Like him on Facebook or follow him at Cambo the Clown on Twitter. Thank you again for wishing Lexington off for us, Cambo.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Good luck, Lexington.
Thank you.
All right. This is Bluegrass Bios on WLXL LPFM, Lexington Community Radio. Thank you again, Lexington, for listening to another Tuesday with your gang in here. It's going to be one short next week, but we'll be in touch. I'm thinking that maybe in a couple weeks we could have a phone call from you, see
yes,
how you're doing,
that's the
let
plan.
The audience know what's going on.
Yeah, that's the plan.
All right, good. Until then, Lexington, enjoy the weather, and we'll see you next week.